This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Along with our basic needs for nutrition, how we feel can play a role in what we choose to eat. A new study out of the University of Texas at Dallas examines the reasons behind so-called emotional eating, with a focus on kids and how dietary habits develop in early childhood. Shayla Holub is head of psychological sciences at UTD, and she's here to talk about the research. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
First off, why look into this? I imagine there's already lots of research on our dietary habits.
Yeah, there is, but what we know less is about children and how eating habits develop. So we were really interested in looking more at how kids' emotions played into how they eat and what they eat.
So what is emotional eating, and how can it affect us in the long run?
So emotional eating is eating in response to any kind of emotion. So usually when we think about emotional eating, we think about negative emotions like sadness or anger or frustration. But emotional eating can also be eating in response to boredom or even in response to happy emotions like excitement.
Now, does this have a negative effect on us, a positive effect? Do we really know? Or?
So in the long term, eating in response to anything besides your hunger and fullness cues could mean that you could be at risk for overweight or that kids could be at risk for overweight because you're eating beyond your own hunger and fullness cues.
Now, your study involved kids, goldfish, crackers, chocolate, and the Lion King. Walk us through how you did the research.
Okay, so we had families come into our lab shortly after they had eaten either lunch or dinner because we didn't want the kids to feel hungry. And so the kids were either randomly assigned to a happy condition, a sad condition, or a neutral condition. And a happy condition, kids watched a clip from The Lion King where Simba is dancing and singing about being excited to be king.
What did you play for the neutral scene for The Lion King?
So for the neutral scene, we played the video in which all the lions are coming to see the new baby.
And so all of this came from The Lion King.
All of it came from The Lion King.
I'm going to wager to say that the sad scene probably was the Mufasa's death, right?
Yes. We all know that scene.
It affects us as adults, even.
Absolutely.
How old were the kids involved, and what did they do? Did they just watch the scenes, or?
Yeah, so the kids involved were between the ages of 5 to 8. We also checked to make sure before they watched them what their moods were, just so we could see a baseline, and then what they were after they watched them.
So how did the food come into play?
So after we gauged their emotions, after they watched the videos, then we presented them with some food choices. So we had several snack foods available. And then we told them that we had to step out of the room and they could either eat with or play with whatever they wanted. So we also had some toys available for them to play with too.
What did the sad kids eat, and do we know why?
Yeah, so the kids in the sad condition ate a lot more chocolate than kids in the other conditions. And so we don't really know exactly why that is. So it could be that, you know, kids at that point have learned some of the sort of physical feelings that they get, the happy feelings that they get from eating chocolate, and that's why they chose the sad food. But what I really think it is that we are socializing kids to use chocolate to feel better.
Why do you think it was both the sad and the happy kids also reached for chocolate? They both reached for chocolate.
Absolutely. So, you know, we do a lot of things as parents and adults around food. So we provide these foods that are sweet foods like chocolates, you know, cakes and other things at birthday parties. So kids learn to associate happy times with these sort of sweet foods. Kids also see their parents reach for these foods when they're sad or upset. We also found that as kids got older, the older kids were more likely to do this, which suggests that maybe some of our younger kids were less responsive to the negative moods. But as kids get older, they're more used to using food to cope with their emotions.
Now, the neutral kids, you know, not too happy, not too sad, they reach for the goldfish crackers?
Yeah. So we were trying to figure out what this was all about. So I think it's interesting that they didn't reach for chocolate, of course. But I also, we're wondering whether that means they were bored. And so that's eating in response to sort of bored. But more research would be needed to find out why they chose the goldfish crackers mechanisms.
I could imagine this study just scratching the surface, considering all of the details involved. What do you think is next for this research?
So I think there's a lot of next steps. So we're currently doing a project in our research lab that is looking at how the stressors that parents experience during the day impact the way they feed their kids in the evening. And I think what's going to be really interesting is to see if parents who are experiencing more stress, who might be not having the coping skills necessary and maybe engaging in more emotional eating themselves, or more prone or more likely to engage in more controlling feeding practices at the dinner table. And that might include feeding for emotions.
Shayla Holub is head of psychological sciences at UT Dallas. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.